This is Sue. Welcome to the Millennial Mustard Seed Podcast. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to share it with your friends.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for being here with the Millennial Mustard Seed Podcast. This is your host, Rodney J. I got a great episode in store for you tonight. I have Micah here from the Nightlight Podcast. He has some pretty interesting things to share, from supernatural experiences to what he thinks is going on in this day and age. Let's jump right into the episode. I know within the last couple months you've had some experiences that I think are beneficial for people here. I know in the days we're living in, everybody is starting to question one thing or another. The world, as we had known it, it's changed drastically in these last couple months.
I was talking to my dad, and I wouldn't preach this, but we know the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And I said to my dad, you know, it wouldn't surprise me that the four horsemen had already been released, because you have pestilence. Peace has been taken from the earth. It's not just the United States. It's the whole world. Famine, because you see a lot of famine happening, a lot of shortages. There's a chain shortage. It's, again, affecting the whole world. And obviously, the fourth horseman we haven't seen yet, which is the one who comes...
Death.
Well, there's death, but the one who has... he comes conquering into conquer. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think maybe Chuck Missler or a couple others have theorized that that's the Antichrist, which I believe he is alive and well today. And I could be wrong, but I believe in the times we're living in that he's living. I don't know how old he is or anywhere he's located, but it's just my conjecture that seeing what we see, especially with Jesus, and I believe it was Matthew 24, where he gives his little warning about the end times, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We're seeing all that. And he says, the end is not yet, but when these things happen, it is the beginning of the end. Don't lose hope, or your redemption draws near. So I believe we're a lot closer than we ever have been. Obviously, every second that ticks by in the real world, we are closer.
Let's talk about the dream you had.
I think it was at least a year ago now. And I shared that on episode one of my podcast, Church 2.0. But in that dream, I was in a shopping mall. And those little waiting areas that are outside the stores where the benches are and the husbands wait for their wives for like hours upon end. I was over near one of those little bench areas, and sometimes there's like a little like garden box behind it. And right up above that area, there was a skylight. And there was a black guy. And he's over by that area, and he's like just yelling at everybody in the mall, "It's gonna rain! It's gonna rain, everybody! It's gonna rain!" And no one was like paying attention to him, but I was like kind of intrigued. Because I'm like, people are just kind of ignoring this guy. He was almost like one of those, like the end is coming, like stereotypical guys on the street corner. So I walked over to see what was going on. And just as I approached him, it started raining through the skylight. But the skylight was intact.
Inside the mall?
Yes. Oh, like, wow. So it was coming through the skylight, yet the skylight was still, like the glass was still there. So but we were getting physically wet. And then after the rain ended, our clothes were dry. All of a sudden, I look down, and in my hands, I'm holding like a folded set of clothes. I don't know if it was robes or clothes, but I don't know if someone said it or if it was just a Lord or something said to me, "These clothes are for the assignment I give to you. These clothes will not wear out."
And this is a year ago. You have this dream, and you're given clothes at the end of this rainfall, mm-hmm. while inside the shopping mall. And somehow you know that these garments will not wear out. Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
This is phenomenal. Okay.
It was basically how I interpreted it is, I'm going to provide, God saying this, I'm going to provide for you, and you don't have to worry about having need. And in Deuteronomy, he said that twice to the Israelites, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. That's Deuteronomy 8:4. And in 29:5, he says, during the 40 years that I led you through the desert, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. And it's also mentioned again in Nehemiah. To progress with the dream, I also had like a water bottle in my hand. And I remember I started going around to people in the mall and saying, "This is living water. You need to drink this." And so people were taking a drink. And every time it emptied from the bottom of the bottle, a little whirlpool would start. It would fill up again from the bottom. Oh. So it was like, you know, miraculous refilling. And I kept telling people, "This is living water. Drink this for eternal life." And so I finally approached this little old couple. There's an old lady, and I offered it to her, and she drank willingly. And then I turned to her husband, and he's like this old sourpuss-looking guy, you know, grumpy old man.
I'm like, grappy.
Yeah, grappy. And I'm like, sir, drink this water so you can live forever. You can be with your wife after you die. And he's like, no, I don't want that water. Get that away from me. I don't want it. And he's like just going on. Yeah. And I'm just like, and I remember I felt sad because he.
You didn't just want to throw the water in his face and hopefully a couple drops get in there.
Yeah, right. It's like, baptize you with this living water, sir, against your will. You know, tie him down and put a funnel in his mouth. And it was really sad. I remember, you know. Despite all the people that drank, I remember just feeling a sadness in me when he refused. And then I woke up, and what's crazy is I could not, this dream was so strong. Like, I know when a dream's from God that it sticks with me like this, because I'm still recounting it, and I can still picture it in my head the way it happened. And I remember I was in the bathroom in the morning doing what I usually do to get ready for work, and my wife came in to get a shower. And I was like, I had a dream, and I told her, and while I was telling her, I was crying. I don't do that. You know, I really believe that there is a rain coming. It's going to be a revival, and I know it's starting. I saw that video of the believers in Portland not too long ago. Thousands of them having this worship service outside, and all the Black Lives Matter people are like kind of like circling on the, around the outside, like not wanting to get too close. It was awesome to see all these people just in unity and fellowship together. And I think we're going to see more of that, and it's up to us all to start doing our part. Don't be fearful. Be bold in what we proclaim. Do it in love, and we'll see Jesus coming out of us. And when people reject us, like that old man did in my dream, we'll find they're not coming against you. Just like Jesus said in the scripture, it's not you they hate, it's me. It's me in you.
All of this sounds really supernatural. There's a scripture, Amos 3:7. For the Lord your God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. This is amazing because the days we're living in, we're seeing what I would always talk with you about over the years is the proof of the pudding. The stuff that we can't fake, we cannot manipulate or conjure up a stage and create such a dynamic of truths to unfold. It's not within any well-organized business couldn't even get half as close, you know what I mean? We're seeing this truth unfold. And I know, like, with Marcus Rogers right now, a lot of different people that have this gift of prophecy, they're all saying the same thing. They're all hinting at, get prepared, garments that are coming that won't wear out for the work that's ahead, a supernatural wave about being the flooding and the anointing of God coming. And it's going to be so miraculous that we're not going to be able to say that group of men were so intelligent and so financially equipped that they could create such a set of events. That's going to be so far out of the question. And that's the proof of the pudding where the very first episode, Supernatural Angelic Warfare, we did with Randy, he says, listen, God is not going to let the devil run roughshod on the body of Christ. As we see the darkness grow, we're going to see the counterattack of God of light doing supernatural things and people saying, whoa, well, that's supernatural, but that's good.
My wife and I were at Target, and you know, Linfield Road up behind there. And there's like the field before you get to the YMCA. You can kind of see that there's like one little clear view of the sky there before you get back into the trees and stuff. And I was just kind of, we have worship music playing in the car. And I'm just like sitting there, you know, enjoying the worship music. Kind of, we're singing along, me and the family. And I'm looking at the sky. It's around sunset. And all of a sudden, like in my mind, I pictured a whole legion of angels in the sky. It's almost like I saw it in my mind. You know, I guess that's what you would call a vision. I'm not sure. I've never really been prone to having visions. But these were not angels, like nice angels. They were black. Like it was just like a whole, like in my mind, I just saw this like thousands of angels like in the sky in darkness. And I just felt this immediate heaviness burden come on me. So I'm over like crouched over in the, because my wife's driving, I'm in the passenger seat, and I'm just like started praying, and I kept repeating, Lord, let your light shine through, let your light shine through. And my wife looks over, she's like, are you okay? I'm like, I told her what happened, and I'm like, I'm just praying. And finally, you know, like a couple minutes later, I felt like a relief, kind of like in my mind saw the like light rays shining through that barrier. I was like, okay, that's just an experience that happened to me. And now what makes this crazier, I didn't find this out until I actually shared this, I think like on a Wednesday night, the last time I spoke at church, like a week or two ago. And my aunt comes up to me. She wasn't up there for, she was down taking care of the kids. So the following Sunday, she listened to it after the fact because we record on Facebook. And she goes, I didn't know you had that vision. She goes, and it might have even been that same day because she asked when that happened. I'm like, well, I told her, yeah, it was like last week this time-ish. And she's like, while we were coming home in that same area, I looked up in the sky and saw this cloud. But she's like, it wasn't like any other kind of cloud, and it was black. It was just strange. Like, it did not blend with, like, it just didn't look right. And she's like, I just saw this black cloud in the sky that didn't, like I said, it's kind of like stuck out like a sore thumb. Like, she's like, it didn't look like a normal cloud. It just felt strange, like a darkness. And so that was kind of cool because it was like a confirmation of what I felt in my spirit and saw in my mind.
God saying, do not turn to mediums or to necromancers. Do not seek them out and do not make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. He's not saying, hey, listen, it's not possible in this realm, doesn't exist. He's literally saying, listen, there's dark forces that are territorial, you know, principalities, powers, rulers, dominions, and authorities that are strategically planned in areas. See, Satan has a minefield laid out, you know, from the ancient times to present times to be able to keep the word of God from coming to pass, to try to hinder the truth. And I think the days we're living in, more people are going to start to cry out and say, listen, this sounds peculiar, but God says you are a peculiar people. Come out of them. Work in your gifts. You know, be the shepherd of a flock. Be the teacher of the word. Be an encourager. Be a servant. Be a prophet. You know, one spirit, one baptism, one truth, diversity of gifts in the body. And I think it's so important to take some time, Micah, where we can talk about this stuff because other people are experiencing. From the microcosm out to the macrocosm, people are getting inklings, they're getting dreams. I have had so many people, even my neighbors here on the street, have told me supernatural experiences they've had in the last couple of years. This area is a hot spot for supernatural activity. Has been for quite some time. The underground military base, it ain't too far from here either. Philadelphia is the fifth biggest city in the country. Look at the numbers of people who are having experiences. Like my stepdad said recently, listen, if there's one or two guys that are seeing something, hey, they may be narcissistic liars, but when you got thousands of people having supernatural experiences from dreams to revelations to eyewitness encounters with entities that should not be able to maneuver and be there, the Bible has the final say. It's going to cover all these topics. What's that story in the Old Testament where the prophet is with the young guy and the young guy's like, oh man, it's all getting crazy. It's getting bad. We're going to get surrounded. And he's like, Lord,
Elisha, I believe.
Elisha?
If I'm not mistaken, I'm going to try and get the names right. Elisha, and I think Gehazi was his servant. There was an army coming against Israel, and Elisha's in his little house there. And his servant looks out, because I think they were actually coming for Elisha. And his servant looks out, and he goes, oh no, there's like thousands of them. Like, it's crazy. What are we going to do? Yeah. He's like freaking out. And Elisha, I can just pick, this is how I picture it. He goes, Lord, open his eyes, that he may see that those who are for us are more than those who are against us. Because wow. Elisha's just like calm. There was a meme going around, a comic strip for a while. It got kind of popular. And there's like a little dog at a table drinking coffee. And the whole house is like burning in flames around him. But he's just sitting there like, this is fine. And like,
it'll be fine.
So like, anyway, his servant looks out the window and the Lord actually opened the servant's eyes. And he saw like thousands upon thousands of flaming chariots surrounding what first appeared to be a large army. A little rinky dink looking army now, like look like toy soldiers. And then you see that the Lord worked. And if I'm not mistaken, I know that Elisha goes out to meet him and he's like, hey, I'm the guy you're looking for, you know. And you can encourage your listeners to go and look that up and read the account for themselves. Here's one I'll share with you real quick, too. I told you about my dad, what happened not too long ago. Well, as far as supernatural stuff goes, my dad has a wealth of experiences, which I want to have an episode soon where I have him on to talk about some of those. It might even take a couple. But he shared this with me, I think it was maybe a month or two ago now. He has a condition called full inclusion body myositis. In other words, his muscles are degenerating. It's kind of like a muscular dystrophy, and it eats away all your muscles. So as of right now, he can't hardly walk. He's mostly bedridden. He requires help to do just about everything. My mom helps him. So they were out. He has to go to a doctor in Buffalo because that's where I'm originally from and they still live there. And he was at the doctor's and there's like nobody around. They said they looked up and down the street. Just, it was like, you know, tumbleweeds kind of
coronavirus, like yeah. Everyone's hiding in the house.
So he's going to the car and he falls And it takes a lot to pick him up. Not that he's huge, but, you know, my mom is older. They're neither of them are spring chickens, and he can't really help her too much to assist her in getting him up. So my mom was going to go get the car and pull up to the curb so it would be a little easier to get him in. And he said all of a sudden these two guys were there. And they're like, let us help you. So they came over and they picked my dad right up and stuck him in the car because my mom had pulled it around by then. Put the walker in the trunk for her. My dad said he went to say thank you, and they were gone. And wow. He's like, there's nowhere they could have gone like that fast. And he said that my mom and him just started like crying and praising the Lord because he's like, it had to have been angels, like a miracle. And it just makes you think about the reference in scripture that says we entertain angels unaware. So that's why we'd be hospitable to strangers and the people we meet, because you never know. This could be a person, or it could be a supernatural test or experience. You don't know. And it happened in the Old Testament and even in the New. I mean, why not now? The thing is, the angel could be a person doing the will of the Lord, or it could literally be a supernatural entity. And I believe it's both.
Absolutely. It's a job title. If we look at a messenger's job title, it has nothing to do with the description or the height or the color or the aspects that this thing can have or the characteristics that it has. This job title, because we know when we look at cherubim or seraphim, which I've said this before in the podcast, you ask most Americans what they think of angels and they're going to say fat little babies with the bow and arrow feeding people grapes. And the Bible, I'm sorry, says that these are fierce throne guardians and messengers. Angels, obviously the job title, but seraphim and the cherubim are wonderful creatures with multiple heads, multiple wings, and I would imagine. Eyes. Yeah, and like look at the ancient Greeks. They're like etching stuff in rock of supposed encounters with chimeras. If you look at all of Europe, from Russia down to China, down to the American Indians, South America, they all have an oral tradition and a physical etching along with their recorded history of supernatural encounters with supernatural creatures. Once again, the Bible just covers that information, but a lot of people are afraid of their Bible, or they've been protected from their Bible. Now's the day and age. Now is the time for us to look at these things and to call on the name of the Lord. As the darkness grows, I believe he is going to crack the sky like a supernova and pull back the veil with his Holy Spirit and flood his people in the days ahead. Micah, I want to thank you so much for being here with this episode. It's been amazing. Micah once again has the Nightlight Podcast. It's K-N-I-G-H-T, Nightlight Podcast. I think he's on his second or third episode. I'm excited to see where this goes, and you should be excited too. Micah, is there anything you want to share with the audience as we get ready to wind down and get off of this episode?
I'm just glad to be able to come and do this collaboration. Doing a podcast has been something I've really wanted to do. You know, I've talked to you about it for a while, and I just kept putting it off, but now it's time, and the Lord just provided the opportunity for me and the equipment to do it. So just keep your ears open, keep your eyes open, pray continually. Please support both of these podcasts.
Coming to you from hostile territory in southeastern Pennsylvania, thank you for being here with the Millennial Mustard Seed Podcast. God bless America, and good night.
I'm just good at caring too much. I'm just good at caring too much. Is it too much to ask that you be your mind? I never was good at sharing. I'm just good at caring too much. You, we are mine. I just good at sharing. I'm just good at caring too much.